Well, I'd like to continue on what we were looking at on Tuesday. And if you remember, the title was Substance and Evidence of Faith. Substance and Evidence of Faith. This, again, is a very, very important scripture and verse for us to understand in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. We'll just remind ourselves again what we were looking at on Tuesday, which we know very well now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I would just briefly go over again just part of that, because as you know, we have this teaching, it's on the website. So do listen to it if you haven't already. But we know, as it says, that faith is the substance. And we know that that is a good Greek word, because it means that your faith is actual, it is real, it has substance. So all that we read, all of these promises that are for us, are real. And there it is, it's the substance, and it says of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we know that as we read the word, it is actual, it is real. It is like that reflection that you see in a mirror, it is there. And what you have prayed for, you hope for by faith, as it says, the evidence of things not seen. So it has evidence. Mark 11:24, wherefore whatsoever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Or the believing is the receiving. And the analogy we always give, it is like someone has said, they've sent you a letter. You go each morning when you hear the letterbox clicks, going there to get that letter that that person said they have written to you that's on its way. You know that it's on its way because when you hear the letterbox click, you immediately go to the front door. You are acting your faith. You know it's on its way. And this is our walk of faith, and this is how we receive and claim these promises. You have to mix faith with what you read and what is for you, the blessing for you, and you receive it by faith. You have it already. It is not yet visibly manifested. So all the while you are waiting, you are confessing, you are believing by faith, it is there. You are waiting for the manifestation. And when it is manifested, you no longer need that faith because you have it. You see it, you behold it, or whatever it is that you are believing for. That is what this verse says. Clearly states. Now, it's all in the teaching on Tuesday, so I'm not going to go over all of that, but that is how faith works. That is how you will be saved and will make it into the kingdom of heaven. You walk by faith and not by sight. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what your week has been like. We were sharing before the meeting started today how we find that the pressures of life and just living is all the while fighting against us to walk by faith. But we choose not to believe that. Even though it may be trying to suppress or push us down, we choose not to believe that. We choose to believe what God says in his word, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform or complete or finish it. That is our confession of faith. And that is what we believe for. And one day We will no longer be in faith any longer, because we will be with the Lord in glory forever. And our faith and our belief in the Word of God has saved us and brought us home. That is how the Christian is to walk. And yet we find so much of contemporary Christianity preaches anything but that. It is denying God's people the truth in His Word, to believe in these promises. And that's why they want you to go and run to the arm of the flesh and believe in man and not God. But we're finding, aren't we, that the arm of the flesh is letting us down. Because God is shaking the heavens and the earth, as it says in Hebrews. Why is God shaking? He's shaking it because of the house of God and the state that it's in. He's actually doing us a favor in getting us not to trust anymore in man, but to trust in His Word, His promises that are forever settled in heaven. The Word of God says that He magnifies His Word even above His name. This is our heavenly manner to survive. Well, with that brief introduction, let's continue then with this substance and evidence of faith. We have got to really understand that all these promises of God can only be received on an act of faith. Don't pray it. Don't bring it before God unless you are prepared to act in faith. It is better not to pray it. It is better just to remain before God until you come to that place. If you are going to take a stand for healing, because that's always the big issue, don't start receiving, claiming your healing, the promise of God's word, unless you are prepared to act on your faith. Wait before God. That is the wisdom that James speaks about. You see, we've all made these mistakes where in the past we've heard the faith teaching, we get all built up, we get all excited, and oh boy, after the meeting you can't wait to start acting your faith. And I know we get excited, praise God, there's nothing wrong in getting excited about God, about His Word. I wish to God more Christians would. But we do have to apply that wisdom. Okay, Lord, I've heard this. Now I need to come before You and I need to discuss this with You. Because You know whether that promise You've made me, You know throughout eternity, You see all things, whether I will act in faith in accordance to that or not. Because I know if I don't act by faith, then it is not going to work. Therefore, it is not faith, it is sin. And I don't want that. And I thank You for Your mercy and grace as I stand and wait before You. That's what the mercy and grace of God is for. Because He knows that we don't all come to that place immediately. We are all different. We can look at one another and think, oh, look at that sister. She's acted her faith. You know, that really puts me to shame. Well, okay, it's convicted you. Some of you have convicted me. And I'm the one preaching the word. I mean, it's very humbling, but I learn from that. I say, the same God who is with my sister, my brother, working through them, is the same God who can and will work through me. God has got to do something first with me. He's got to deliver me of something, or there's something hindering my faith. This is not rocket science. It's called bowing the knee and humbling yourself in His presence. This is how you grow. And whatever God has blessed that brother or sister, I know he will bless me as well, because he's my father as well. That is how we learn. But if you allow jealousy or resentment to start coming in, you are in trouble. And it's your responsibility to tell the devil to get out, because he will. And the very fact that he's attacking you in that area proves that God wants to bless you. So he always gives himself away, does he not, the enemy? But we know the very famous chapter and verse in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever should believe on him will have everlasting life. There is the principle. It's right there. Whoever believes. You've got to believe. If you want to make it into the kingdom of God, you have to believe what God says in his word and over your life. It doesn't matter what the circumstances is. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. That is what he says. Let's look also to something else that's applicable to this in the book of Romans, Romans 10. This speaks about our confession, does it not? Romans 10, 9 to 10. I'm going to use a lot of scriptures here because I want the sword of the Spirit to do its work in your heart. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So what is he asking you to believe here with regard to your confession? He says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, okay, I believe in him. That's why we're here today. And believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. I choose to believe that. I believe it. I don't see it with my eyes. I was not there at the time when Christ was crucified. I wasn't a witness like the early church and the disciples were. Nevertheless, I still choose to believe it in Jesus' name. And that he raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Did you know you have to have faith and belief that he raised him from the dead? That he went to the cross, he paid that price for me. I know that sounds very basic, but that is how you are saved. You're not saved by anything else. You aren't going to get any evidence. As you believe on that, then you get the witness in your heart. You are saved because faith brings the witness. It brings the evidence of faith. In other words, he's now come into your life, into your heart, through the baptism of the Spirit. I have the evidence. I have the faith. I don't have to believe anymore. I know it's real. It's happened. There's none of you doubting this morning, well, am I saved or am I not saved? Where do I stand in all of this? No, not at all. You have the assurance, the confidence. Well, take that over now for blessings, to pay your bills, to put a meal on your table, to heal your body, to restore you. It's the same. And yet when it comes to that, oh, hang on, that's a bit different, that is. No, it's not. It's all the same. It's all the same. And your confession gives it away. You will know whether you have received it by faith, Hebrews 11, 1, we just looked at it, because your confession speaks concerning what I have received by faith. And if your confession means that you are confessing 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 40 years, I've been walking with the Lord, and I still confess by faith. Because you see, faith knows no time limits. Where faith is concerned, time is irrelevant. Amen. To faith, oh, it is. You're walking by faith each day. And today could be the day it's manifested. Exactly. It's manifested. It's the manifestation today. And there are things I'm confessing and have been for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And God will let me know whether I'm in faith or not, because I can hear it at times come out of my mouth. And when it comes out of your mouth where it's not agreeing and lining up with God's word, you've got a chance to do something with that, to take it back. Father, forgive me. I bring this under the blood of Jesus. Lord, if there's unbelief, there's something that's not working, that's not right, in your mercy, please put it right. I want to, I need to settle on your word, these promises, what you say over me. Do you realize this is what our Heavenly Father says and confesses over us? Because it comes from him. You can't separate him. When we talk about Christ, we talk about his word. You can't separate any of this. This is what he said. This is his love letter to us. You know, when you fall in love with someone and you receive a text or a letter, you can't wait to get into it and open it up and to read it. That's what this is all about. This is what God thinks about me. This is his heart towards me. This is everything he's paid at Calvary for me. Why do we doubt him? Because the enemy's got a bit vocal. Or it looks completely contrary. It looks as though God has arrived late. Why bother now? It's too late. Whatever. God's always late in our time. There's nothing new to that. And as far as the way God works, you'll never in a million years find out how he's going to do it, how he's going to work, how he's going to manifest it. You know, I gave a confession on Tuesday over my right ear that I've had trouble since a child. I had perforation of the eardrum, that I nearly lost my hearing. They used to have to put me in the class at a special table so that I could hear properly and everything. When I gave that confession on Tuesday, has the devil given me what for? He's tried to put all the symptoms back on my right ear. He's tried to put back an ear infection and everything. And I said, Lord, it doesn't matter. I have confessed it. By his stripes, I was healed. I'm not even going to look to the word. I'm not even going to stand on anything because I know I am healed. That is God's heart. You see, sometimes the enemy doesn't give up until right to the last. See, I know what the word of God says. And I know God is testing me. He's watching now to see if I'm going to continue trusting and believing. I know what he tries to do. So when you give that confession that God healed me or whatever it is, don't be surprised sometimes if the enemy's trying to come back and put the symptoms back on. It's a lie. God sees that I need it. I have to go through that. Why? Because faith is a muscle. And muscles have to be used and exercised. And so does faith. In God's infinite wisdom and love towards me, he sees that I need to continue to believe and trust him, and the enemy will go. He'll give up. He's lost the fight. You see, this is how we walk. What are we going to believe? Oh, I thought I was healed. Why is the ear playing up again? Oh, Lord, you know, what's gone wrong? No, I'm not going to do it. I don't need to do it. I have read what God thinks about me and what he thinks about you. I don't need to be confirmed, a confirmation. I don't need to keep running all the time to these verses. And they have their place, don't get me wrong. I know that he dealt with that at Calvary. Amen. And that by his stripes we were healed. That Greek word zoso, which means wholeness in mind, body and spirit. And you've got Christianity today and preachers who are trying to preach that one down, that it's not what it means and so on. But it is. It is. We have to be in faith for God's daily provision. I'm bringing out these everyday things that we face because we know in the natural everything is going up and up and up. And when they get inflation under control, which they're saying they're trying to do, they can't get those prices back under control. And that's the lie of trying to get inflation under. Do those prices ever come down?
No.
When we're out of recession or whatever it is? Never do. They lie to us all the time. But God doesn't lie to us. And what does God say? I will provide for you. Here it is. Matthew 6 and verse 24 onwards. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So he's saying, decide what you want to worship. Do you want to worship the world, money, or do you want to worship and follow me? And I will provide for you. And here it is. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And he goes on and on and on. And what's the key word he's talking about there? Worry. Anxiety. It's a killer to faith. And the devil knows exactly where to attack. When you feel it coming, you feel it rising up, I don't entertain it. The blood of Jesus over my mind. God will provide. And he does. What is it saying in Matthew 17 and verse 20. And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. And of course, he's talking about the casting out of demons here. And then he gives a clue to how he's done it. He says, this kind comes out nothing except by prayer and fasting. So we find that prayer and fasting has its place for our mustard seed. And you will know. You will know how the Spirit is leading and guiding in that whole situation. And then, of course, the big one, healing. Let's look back in that Matthew 9. And verse 22, in Matthew 9 and verse 22, but Jesus turned around, and when he saw her faith, he said, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour, the woman with the issue of blood. What made her well? Her faith. She believed. And God says, your faith will make you well. Note what it says, faith. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. She had to wait 12 years. And she went to the arm of the flesh and they could do nothing. She probably paid a lot of money in those days. Nothing's changed. And there it was. Her faith simply healed her. There's the principle. And finally, with that regard to that, we know this one very, very well. But in the book of James, wonderful book, the book of James is, that's Jesus' brother. Did you know that? And even James, it says, church history, that he was martyred as well. So not only his brother Jesus was put to the cross, martyred, but he was also for the faith. These men, women walked by faith in the early days. Here it is, James 5 and verse 15. And what does it say? And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. The prayer of faith. Believing in these promises. And if it means there's sin or hindrances to that faith, then they will be forgiven because you're confessing it. You're bringing it out into the light. Exactly. That's what he's meaning there. Well, let's take this on a step further. You see, our whole salvation walk is by faith. We're bringing out areas to our faith for healing and needs and various things because it's all part of it. But our whole faith is that we make it into the kingdom of God. And I've already touched on that. But I want to show you, are you in faith that God has preserved and empowered you? That is just as important in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Do you believe that? If you've got faith in that, then you are going to believe that God's power is there to preserve me. To preserve me for what? To keep going. To keep coming. To keep listening. Amen. Did you know it's faith today coming to this meeting? This is acting our faith. It's not rocket science, this. This is why I'm always so grateful and thankful when I see the saints coming in. I see them coming into the room. That is telling me that is God's remnant who are walking by faith because they believe that God's preserving them and keeping them. The power of God brought us here today. This is God's power that raised Christ from the dead. That's in operation. And we do it on the basis because we choose to believe. Doesn't matter how I feel. Sometimes I come to the meeting, I'm not 100%. I don't feel that well. But it doesn't matter. I'm here. I believe it. I've acted my faith. And I do what God says. I'll never forget once, years and years ago, when I was preaching in Switzerland at a seminar, and I went down with flu. Boy, did I go down with flu. I knew exactly the devil didn't want me to preach there. And my dear mother, who was alive then, she got a few of the sisters and said, Kim's down with the flu. Let's get into prayer. They got into warfare. They really got into warfare. My mother knocked on the door. I had a temperature. I felt awful. And she said, I've come to pray for you. Do you believe the Lord will raise you up? I said, yes, Mum, he will. She said, in the name of Jesus, rise up. Rise up. And shut the door and left. And all I could remember was those words. Rise up. And I knew I had got a choice whether to stay there and feel sorry for myself and I've come all this way and I'm too ill to preach, or I act my faith on those words. And I knew God was testing me. I said, right, get up, get dressed. I got up, got dressed. Did I feel any better? No. Thumping head, temperature. I got dressed. I tried to look as respectable as possible. I thought, right, I'm ready to preach in 20 minutes. And I walk out the room, the hall is full. We've got about 200 out there. And the Lord said, you're going to trust me? And I got up and I got behind the pulpit and I started to talk like this. And as I started to preach, the voice started to come, the anointing started to come, and the symptoms started to abate and everything. And at the end of that meeting, we had one of the biggest calls for healings. Loads of them came up for the laying on of hands and everything. In the natural, I thought they should be laying hands on me. And here, God wants me to lay hands on them. Doesn't matter. That is faith. That's how it works. And by the end of that day and the evening, God started to manifest the healing. I was manifested. I had to walk according to what I heard. And I heard those words, rise up in Jesus' name. Because I knew the devil was out to stop God's blessing and healings to those people and hearing the word. I have been tested many times. I was tested going to meetings years ago, and each one by one by one didn't come anymore because the word of God was offending them, until I was down to one. And God said, you still go and preach my word. And God said to me, if you even have to preach to the brick wall, you will preach. He was teaching me obedience. And guess what? He took me at that. I did. And the last person didn't come. But I got up and I preached. And I preached the word. And God said, you've done now what I wanted you to do. He was teaching me obedience. Yes, my eyesight, everything kept saying, what's the point in going? Why travelling all that way? Nobody, they're not interested. But God said to me, I am interested. You see, this is where you learn. This is where you learn to walk by faith and not by sight. And in the end, it doesn't matter because you know God's ways. You know that God is going to do things you'll never begin to understand. It'll never make any sense. I mean, look at the ways Jesus healed sometimes. It never made any sense. But that is God's ways. And you learn it when you walk by faith and not by sight. Did you know that we're also justified by faith? Are you believing for that justification? We know what justification means in our theology. It's to be made right, to give you a right standing in God's presence. Let's just remind ourselves in Romans chapter 3, Romans 3 and verse 28. This is appropriated by faith. Romans 3. And verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. So the law cannot justify you. It cannot make you right. Only my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ gives me that right standing as a son of God. You have to stand right before him. You see? What does that mean? It means that you can stand in Almighty God's presence and not be burnt up by his holiness. That's what it's meaning. That he gives you a standing. How do you appropriate that? By faith. Did you know that you are separated, sanctified by faith? Do you believe in your sanctification, that God has set you apart unto himself? In this case, it's unto holiness, for God is holy. And he says, without holiness, no man shall see God. Here it is in Acts 26 and verse 18. Again, has to be appropriated by faith. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified. What? By faith. In me. Your sanctification by faith is where? In him. That's where sanctification is to be found. And when your sanctification by faith is found in him, you will find you can and want to be separated from the things of this world that try to defile you, that try to trip you up, deceive you, and so on. But not only that, it gives you discernment. You find you can give up those things of the world. Wrong company, and so on. Where? Because it's found in him. And I am in him. And he is in me. And walks his life through me. Now let God walk his life through you. You'll be amazed sometimes where he'll take you, but he'll do it. He'll do it. How is that appropriated? By faith. A faith that moves with God. An active faith, in other words. Did you know that we have to overcome Satan by faith? Now, we don't always get that one straight away, but we're learning. Where's that found? In Ephesians 6, verse 16. You know this very well. Ephesians 6 and verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith. And how do we get faith? By hearing, reading the word of God. So it is the word of God that's my shield of faith that I use against the enemy, just like Jesus did when he was tempted into the wilderness. He used the word of God, the shield of faith, against the enemy. And that's why you need to know the word. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and love not our lives even unto death. That is how we overcome. He hates the blood of Jesus, spoken in authority and in faith. And he will go for a season. He will come back, because he doesn't give up. So you need to be on your guard 24/7. Did you know that we overcome the spirit of this age by faith? The world, in other words, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. I'm showing you all these promises that you can stand on and confess. 1 John 5, verse 4. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. And by this we know that the love of God, and so on. So that is how we overcome. We overcome the world by the love of God. our fellowship that we have with him, the spirit of this age. And he says in verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. My active faith enables me to overcome the world. I'm not going to overcome it otherwise. And faith is a belief in God's word and promises. And that is how I'm going to overcome the world. I'm not going to overcome it in any other way. You won't ever overcome it in your own strength. He says, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. Not might or could. He says it overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. A faith that acts, believes, stands upon the promises of God's word. That is how I'm going to overcome it. And we know that the world tries to bear us down. We know that the spirit of this age is warring constantly against God's people, the overcomers. We don't have to go and look for it. It's there. The moment you go out your front door, you can feel the attacks. The spirit of this age trying to draw you down into unbelief and to act and think like the world. But we overcome that by faith. When you wake up, your confession should be, I walk this day by faith and not by sight. I have already overcome this day because the overcomer Jesus has gone before and prepared the way for me. I walk this day by faith and not by sight. We have to start to be vocal and start to confess these promises against the powers of darkness. Too many of us give in when he growls and we run away in fear. But that's all he can do. That's all he can do is growl, make a noise. He cannot destroy us. God is always one step ahead. When are we going to start believing? Because you cannot rely on the arm of the flesh. It is failing us as God is shaking now the heavens and the earth. And as I said at the beginning, why is he shaking? He's shaking it so that the house of God starts to wake up, that we cannot rely on this world and what man says. And stop listening to those lies. That's why he's doing it. He's doing it for our sake, not for the world. The world's under judgment. He doesn't want us to be judged with the world. And he'll go to the lengths and depth of eternity, if need be, to save us. And I believe this shaking that's now started, it speaks of in Hebrews, is so that he will have a remnant who will walk by faith in these last days and not by sight. I believe that's what God reveals to me more and more. You see, too few don't believe that we start receiving in this life by faith. We start to believe our inheritance in this life by faith. So few believe in this one. Look what it says. You know this well. You've probably got it underlined in 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 21, 22. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's and Christ is God's. Look at that, what we have just read there. This is staggering to our imagination and faith. And yet it's true. We have been given all things as joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He is not going to withhold anything from you. But you have to believe. It's on the basis of faith. But that is what he has said. It doesn't matter what Christendom says or that preacher says. There's a lot don't believe any of this. God has said it. We've just read it there. Now couple that with Romans 8, verse 16. Romans 8 and verse 16. Remember that in 1 Corinthians. Now listen to what he says here in Romans 8, 16 onwards. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children or sons of God. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And it goes on, doesn't it, about creation groaning and so on. Here we are. It's mind-boggling. So it's not only present now, but in the future. So we start receiving our inheritance now in this life. Most only preach it, oh, that's when you get into glory. Well, that isn't faith, is it? Faith appropriates now, believes now, starts acting now into what God has given to us. Our inheritance is waiting on you, on me. And it's saying, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to let that fear and unbelief destroy you all the time? Because what you see or what you feel or whatever it is, faith's got nothing to do with our senses, how we feel. It's to do with what God has said and promised. And it's whether I choose to believe it or not. Amen. You've got a choice. God isn't going to break your arm for this. He's given us a free will. Joshua and Caleb chose to believe and they gave a different confession to the children of Israel. They said, yes, there's giants in the land, but nevertheless, we're well able to take them. Where was their faith? In God, his word. And the rest of the children of Israel, oh no, he's brought us out from Egypt for us to be destroyed. And they griped and they moaned and everything, and God gave them up. They were stiff-necked people, refused to believe. I'm not going to believe it. Because things got a bit uncomfortable or because they saw giants. Well, we're always seeing giants. We're confronted with giants every day when we go out. And we're seeing a lot more of it now in technology. They're like giants. How can you overcome this? How can you overcome all of this lot that's coming, that's being developed? I don't know, but I know God's overcome it, and we will overcome it, and are overcoming it. What are you going to believe? How about Galatians, if you're still not quite sure? Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Verses 5 to 7, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. He has granted, he's open our eyes to sonship. He's given us the call to overcome, to inherit all things, to press in these last days. It's there. So many in churches are not growing up. They're babies. They act immature. They want to be immature. They want to be nurtured. They want to hear from God. They want a voice from God. They want a verse from God. Tell me what God is saying to me, instead of you hearing what God is saying to you. That's the problem we have today in Christendom. I soon realised I wanted to hear from my father. I want to hear what he's saying. I don't want to keep going far through man all the time. That's idolatrous. And that's what we have in Christendom. Hallelujah. Our whole stand and walk has to be by faith, as it's never going to please God. And we have to settle on that one. And you need to draw on your account that God has given to you. It's in that spiritual bank. You have access to it. You can draw on it. It is rightfully yours. And God's waiting now. James chapter 4 and verse 2. James chapter 4 and verse 2, as I bring this to a close, he says, you lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. So he says, you're not drawing from your account because of unbelief. You are still worldly. You still want it on your terms. You want it for your pleasure and so on. It ain't going to work. And that's why we preach the cross, because the cross deals with that, that we're to take up daily and follow. It deals with the flesh life. It deals with the pride. And God says, when you start asking right, according to my word, my will, I will give it to you. You draw from that account, my account. Your name is in that account as well. And what is that account? It is the promises of God's word. You hold it in your hand, those 66 books. That is God's account. That is his word, his promises to you and I. That by his stripes we were healed at Calvary. I will provide all your needs according to his riches in glory. I will give to you 100-fold in this life, houses, lands, brethren, and persecutions. And it just goes on and on. That is what he has said. You've got to get grounded in the word of God. And as I close in this, I repeat it over and over again, but we talked about this before the meeting. Faith comes by hearing, reading the word of God, Romans 10:17. Do you know what actually that is really implying? Obey what that says. Doesn't matter how you feel, what your day's been, God says, obey me in this. Get into my word. Let the word of God feed you. Let it get from your head to your heart. Just obey me in that and your faith will work. Amen. But we're not always obedient in it. We hear it, but we're not always doers of it. You see, this ain't rocket science. And that's why we miss it so often. But Lord's merciful, he's faithful. He doesn't give up on us. He loves us. He wants us to enter into this inheritance. And those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, the promise is they will be filled. Heavenly Father, praise you, bless you, thank you for speaking to us. Lord, we just know that when faith is opened up, there's an anointing there, Lord, that's just special, that's ministering to us because it's your divine presence. Father, may each of us and all those who hear this word, and we know it goes to the four corners of the earth, Father, may they enter into this. May this be their inheritance, not for us, but for the glory of God. And the price it cost you at Calvary to give us this. Lord, we thank you. So, Lord, bless my brothers and sisters. Be with them through this week until we assemble again. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen.